Cool. I think we'll get started then. Thanks everyone for joining. My name's Ryan and I'll be chairing this session. I'll introduce and invite Stéphane Marais up shortly, but Stéphane is experienced in designing and implementing technology solutions for actuarial teams to achieve end-to-end automation. He's a senior manager at Dynamo Analytics South Africa and leads the actuarial software team working on the actuarial and financially modelling platform Cycle, used by insurers in various markets around the world. His current focus is to automate and improve reserving processes, but he is also working on applying general learnings from process automation to the general life and insurance sectors, and as well as banking. Stéphane's talk will be on autonomous reserve segmentation and ML clustering framework. The abstract for Stéphane's paper is that traditional aggregate reserving techniques assume that each data triangle used is a homogeneous group of claims. However, the practical constraints of management and reporting requirements often hinder the adoption of a statistically optimal approach to segmentation. There is often a reliance on legacy class hierarchies, business processes, or expert judgment due to the difficulty of determining an optimal segmentation. This can reduce the homogeneity in triangles and affect the performance of aggregate reserving techniques. Stéphane's paper and presentation proposes a new approach for automating the segmentation of claims into homogeneous groups for triangle-based projections. There will, of course, be time for questions at the end, so please submit those in the app or raise your hand in the room and I'll bring you a microphone. Otherwise, please welcome Stéphane to the stage. Thanks.
It's good to see people still have energy at the end of the conference for a session like this. Okay, so yeah, I just want to say thanks for having me. Okay, so let's jump into it. I'll just be introducing a bit of the background context needed to understand this. I'll introduce the framework, and at the end we'll talk a bit about what the initial conclusions are and initial testing results. All right. So, so clustering-based reserve segmentation is a framework. It refers to the paper I wrote last year. It's very much a framework, not a formula or not a specific algorithm or prescriptive algorithm. The paper has got a lot of thoughts and ideas. Ideally, it's best if you want to try this out to actually read the paper instead of just follow it from the slides or from this talk. And it's very much a suggested methodology. It's very indicative, not very prescriptive, and it's a lot of it's meant to get us started in this direction, and not so much saying that this is the final best way of doing it. Okay, so I can just maybe summarize. So for those of you that are very familiar with reserving, general insurance claims reserving, very familiar with machine learning techniques, classification specifically, and clustering, and you are an experienced reserving actuary, I would say. For those of you, in summary, this is basically... instead of using your current class hierarchy and the way you set up your segmentations for reserving, the idea is that you let machine learning do that through the clustering algorithm. So the clustering algorithm then basically introduces homogeneous groups, which you then use to set as basis for your segmentation. So that's generally what this is about. Now we're going to jump into the details. Okay, so I can confirm that initial testing shows promising results. It does require adoption in practice, obviously, to improve methodologies around it. Additionally, as well, an additional benefit that you get by introducing this to your reserving process is that you get insights into the claim level detail, which is something which typically you don't get with normal reserving exercises. So just quickly, a background check. I just want to do an audience check here. Who is, just by show of hands, who is familiar with classification and clustering in machine learning. Okay, and who is familiar with who's a reserving actuary, or who's got experience with reserving? Okay, and I assume everyone knows what segmentation. Okay, cool. I can skip over a lot of the background. Okay. So, just to almost set the scene here, the current corporate actuarial environment is what drove this research and what shaped the idea. So, at the moment, we're seeing a lot of actuarial transformation projects. We're seeing new developments in reserve diagnostics, new dashboards and scoring metrics that actuaries come up with to help them choose, choose the best model to use, choose the best triangle reserving method. We see at the same time, at the moment, we see an increased need for turnaround. For reserve turnaround. So businesses might be required to set a new reserve every month instead of quarterly. We see additional strains on reserving teams being put by having to deliver IFRS 17 results as well and things like that. So, and then also trends we were seeing at the moment in this space is there are major advances in reserving methods. Although adoption does seem to be slow, I think there's a lot of papers written since like early 2000s, and my hypothesis is maybe that regulatory reporting has just kept us too busy to implement them, and we're stuck with chain ladder. Also, the latest trend is everyone seems to be trialing the use of machine learning in actuarial processes. Okay, so just quickly to sense check limitations of aggregate reserving. Aggregate reserving, reserving through a triangle, it assumes that the claims it comes from is relatively homogeneous. It's a limitation, and also you actually lose the claim level information when you aggregate. So there's a lot of trends that cannot be detected anymore once you've summarized your claims into triangles, you basically lose out on the ability to detect individual claims information trends that could be picked up through that. Okay, and hypotheses again. Maybe this is why chain ladder or other triangle reserving methods, maybe BPCI, maybe some of the Aussie methods as well, tend to really overstate or understate without manual adjustments. Maybe this is why reserving is considered to be a bit of an art, not a science. Maybe this is why we've got a very established practice for manual adjustments, so very, very established, like fancy ways of excluding, fancy ways of weighting your link ratios, very fancy, softwares as well that does this all for you and helps you to make adjustments to the traditional reserving methods. Maybe this is why reserving has really become a time-consuming process at Reserve Review. Right, okay, so... So segmentation. This obviously just dividing your. So when I refer to segmentation, this refers to dividing a major class into subgroups. Okay, so I know segmentation can also refer to the whole insurance book, dividing it potentially into major classes. But if I refer to segmentation here, what I mean is actually the sort of the subclass segmentation or segmenting, typically maybe like attritional versus large claims or by peril or something like that. And this can be a really, really time consuming process in practice. It can really get complex. For example, at the bottom, you can see that's sort of the most complex I've seen, that typically ends up in a really sparse triangle by splitting it from entity, class within entity, product, barrel, sub-barrel. can be hard to work with. Okay, clustering, this is just, so for those that don't understand what clustering is, and what is the sense check, it's just the algorithm that helps you to group claims in such a way that they form optimally homogeneous, but also statistically significant groups within your data. This can be in multiple dimensions. This is just an example of two-dimensional, but mostly it's multi-dimensional. Okay, so in discussing the algorithm, I just need to introduce some technicalities around clustering. So a centroid is basically a central point. Basically, it normally refers to, you can think of it as the average of a certain data set in multi-dimensional space. And the distance measure is a key thing used by the algorithm to basically optimize the actual cluster that it forms. So, for example, the distance measure is what determines sort of like the different clustering algorithms use different distance measures and. Different distance measures are appropriate in different examples. So, for example, the k-means algorithm, one of the most simple clustering algorithms, uses the Euclidean distance. Okay, so I just need to define that quickly as a background check. And yeah, you guys know what feature engineering is. Okay, so now introducing the paper, the concept, clustering-based reserve segmentation. So the idea here is not, I think everyone's in search, everyone in reserving that's doing research is in search of an auto reserve. I think that's the ideal. That's my ideal. One day I want to arrive at this algorithm, this method gets you to a really good auto reserve that helps you to, that also allows you to make adjustments. So sort of take a Bayes approach to it where you can also put in some expert judgment into just and then wait basically between what this method gives you, which is based on the data, and then also influence that with your own and override that with some assumptions. That's the dream. But adoption in practice seems to be really, really slow. So one of the ideas of this framework is that this could start getting you there by really getting the claim, getting your reserving process, starting to do analysis on your individual claims before you create the triangles. It helps you start. It starts helping you to pick up trends in the claim level information, just so you almost like so teams and culture starts changing potentially in order for you to potentially easier adopt individual claims reserving methods later on. Okay. I guess the benefit of it is that it can work alongside traditional reserving methodologies as they do at the moment. Okay, so clustering-based reserve segmentation as I introduced it at the beginning, it's literally just applying clustering algorithms on claims development characteristics. But not just, the idea here is that it's claims development characteristics, not just claims characteristics. All right. So just to introduce this conceptually. So how would this differ from segmenting by attritional or large? So if we just think about that, so this would be the same. So if you split claims attritional large, and those could be seen as almost like two clusters. So if we were to cluster and it creates two clusters, it could be in a way, and there's one feature, the feature being claim size, that is similar to attritional large splits. Although, the only difference is that here, the clustering algorithm will help you, will actually choose the threshold for you. So instead of you manually choosing the threshold, clustering just by one feature would be the same as this, with some autonomous threshold. Okay. And to sort of also challenge traditional segmentations, I want to ask the question, is claim size really a development characteristic? Does it describe the nature in which a claim, the way in which a claim develops over time? So I think no, that doesn't directly describe how the claim develops. It actually, it could be a driver for that, because large claims maybe in your book of business tend to take longer or tend to be, I don't know, more accurately estimated or for whatever reason. So it could be a driver for some development characteristics, but it's not directly, it doesn't directly describe a claim's development characteristic. So can you think, so long, of any feature that you could calculate on the claim information? Think transactions, think maybe other characteristics, categorical characteristics. Can you try and think of any any feature that could describe development of a claim? Okay, right. So some research questions. So when we set out to write this paper, we wanted to take a logical approach. excuse me. So these were the following questions we tried to answer through this paper. Can clustering-based segmentation help us improve reserving accuracy? Can it help us reduce the turnaround time for a reserve review? So a very practical question, I guess. And this would be by potentially reducing the level of intervention needed by the actuary to improve the reserve estimate. So, you know, it's all about that manual adjustments, overriding the tail factor and all those, reducing the intervention necessary. Should we maybe consider this as part of an actuarial reserve transformation project? What are the benefits? What are the cons? Okay. And are there any other benefits that you can get out of it, like further insights potentially by applying this framework in your reserving reserving model? Okay, so introducing the framework. So initially when I set out to do this, let's apply reserving clustering to the reserving method, the reserving claims data. It seems simple. I asked the graduate, hey, can you just, it's like a data science graduate, can you just do some analysis on this? And reserve predictions were horrible, actually. It created such bias in the process that the reserve went like, it almost like made chain letter worse. And when I sat back and thought about it, I realized that actually there's a lot more to it, and there's a certain key things to consider here, and that is the need for this framework. So the idea of this paper is just a bunch of thoughts written down, really. So first, there's a need to separate open and closed claims. So the framework involves first take closed claims aside and open claims and just separate them in your data. Then on the closed claims, do feature engineering. So calculate the features that you want in your clustering on the closed claims only. Then apply your clustering algorithm, and as part of that, you need to also determine what are the optimal number of clusters. So those will set, like, if it's three, then it means there's three segments, for example. And then take the closed claims. So after you calculated the closed claims clusters, take the open claims and allocate them to these closed claim clusters. Then triangulate and reserve as normal. Okay, very simply explained. The paper goes in a lot more depth, and there's a few things that I left out, but this is just conceptually what the whole process framework is about. We'll go into each step now and just discuss some caveats and maybe reasons for why do I separate open closed claims, for example. So clustering open claims and closed claims leads to bias together. When you cluster them together, if you do feature engineering that uses the full claim history. because and that's trivial actually, because if you focus, for example, take total open time, which does quite well describe a claim development characteristic, how long was this claim open for, if you take a class which has maybe some short tail claims and some long tail nature claims maybe mixed together, so some claims were just really, really quickly run off, and you have a few open claims that may be big and long claims. If you like go like 5 years into the future, they turn out to be really long. You're gonna create bias, because if you use total open time as a feature for your clustering, it's gonna probably group them with all those short tail claims, and that introduces and this is why initially testing this it performs so poorly. So naturally, the framework represents thinking separately about closed claims and open claims. So next up is to calculate. So this is back to the framework. The next step is calculating the features on the closed claims. Now, the idea here is to actually focus on defining features that describe the development pattern, and not things like just the size or not just a categorical variable, because then really you're getting back to just splitting by peril again or something like that. Yes, they can be drivers for the claims, the characteristics, so they could still be useful. And you could add that as an extra dimension to your clustering, but really what we should be doing is focusing on things which actually describe the development pattern directly. So other papers and presentations I've seen and did research on actually mentioned the use of categorical features a lot, such as like degree of injury and workers' comp. But this framework, I believe it's the first that actually suggests the actual use of transaction data here. So if we just look at our claims characteristics, for a given closed claim, the claim originates at some point in time, later it gets reported, as this is general insurance, and eventually it's closed, finalized. In between report date and close, there are what we call obviously paid and incurred movements over time, and this helps to describe a claim's characteristics. Okay, so just very simple, just to recap. So when we take those that a claim with that nature, and we try to feature engineer something which describes its development, we could use reporting delay. We could use maybe Macaulay duration on the incurred or case estimate movements. We could do total number of open days. Maybe something like what is the ultimate claim size divided by the size at report. So that's like almost like a claim ultimate claim development factor, almost like the cumulative chain link factor, but on an individual claim, if that makes sense. So those could be like features that actually describe the claim's development directly, or more directly, at least. So implementing clustering methodologies. The paper doesn't prescribe. I think this is a field that needs to be established, and it'll depend on your book of business, what your data set looks like, and things like that. So there's a non-prescriptive approach here, but an example approach would be start by calculating the features, then standardize those features, standardize the data, apply principal component analysis to make them orthogonal vectors, use the k-means algorithm, and then maybe to determine the optimal number of clusters, you can use something like the elbow method to as a metric to look at, and then look at like your classic data science field, which I'm no expert in, but using like maybe some good as a fit metrics. So that's what an example approach would look like to actually perform the clustering for the closed claims. So Implementing in this closed-claim clustering could look something like this. So this is a two-way table of two features plotted for a given book of business. So on the y-axis, we've got the case estimate at report date, and on the x-axis, we've got total open time. So in this case, for example, this is what an example could look like where it creates three clusters. Okay, so next step, when we think about taking the open claims again and allocating them back, how would you then allocate these open claims back to the closed claims clusters that you've already formed? Now, in doing that, this paper suggests an algorithm. In principle, so for a given closed claim, we compare it against a given open claim, perhaps. Here you can see a claim that's still open. We know when it originated, we know when it was reported, because we know about it, but it's still open. So we don't know when it's closed. So if we were to develop an algorithm which were to allocate this back to given closed claim clusters, we want to compare the characteristics of a claim as at the same date or the same level of information available. So, for example, if this open claim was open for 17 months, then we would compare it with a closed claim also as at 17 months with a given level of information available as at that time. So the open claims has characteristics, and we compare it against basically all the information before 17 months in this example. So the algorithm is described in the paper. I'm not going to bore you with mathematics in the slide, but it's a more conceptual explanation. It involves taking a single open claim. We can compare it with closed claims if, for example, the open claim was 10 days open. You compare it with all closed claims also as if they were 10 days open. And we recalculate the features on those closed claims. We redetermine the centroids for those closed claims. We allocate that open claim to the nearest centroid, and we repeat for all other open claims. So, the algorithm is described in the paper. And for efficiency, the calculation efficiency, runtime, the paper recommends doing this in operational time. So you sort of divide up your open claims in bands, OT bands, operational time bands. And this also helps to reduce some sort of noise introduced potentially by not thinking about them in like individual days. Maybe the claim systems has noise in it that you want to reduce. At month end there's always something happening and it goes up and down or something. All right, so next up is we create our triangles and we reserve as normal. Okay, so just a recap. We've discussed this framework now. And showing some testing results. How do we test results? Sorry. So testing whether clustering works well, clustering's performance, you can do visual inspection. This becomes difficult when you have more than three dimensions. So if you have three features, it's easy to plot it in 3D. There's a lot of packages in Python and R available these days which you can even interact with a chart very, very nicely. So you can see visually what's happening and you can get analysis from it. But as soon as you have more than three dimensions, it becomes hard to visualize or to do visual inspection to see if a clustering was a good fit, if it did effectively improve homogeneity. So there are some some methods that you can use when it's more than four and more features. So for example, TS and E, it's a dimension reduction technique that you can use to visualize multidimensional things in 2D or 3D. And then there's also like just your normal performance metrics. So for example, for Gaussian mixture models and k-means, you can use the AIC and the BIC criterion. Those statistics, and then you can also there's also various other I found this in academic work, but various other scores that you can use to test clustering's performance. So I would say we as actuaries are not experts on this. You might have a PhD in statistics, in which case you might be, but I think this is also where we can learn a lot from. As reserving actuaries, learn a lot from what is done in pricing these days and analytics. Okay, so testing reserve accuracy. So how do you now measure whether introducing this form of segmentation is actually better or worse than your alternative segmentation? So in 2020, there was a paper written by Bologna and Richmond. So they introduced a framework that allows you to compare reserving methods. So how do we compare like the original chain ladder versus a Cape Cod method or a Munich chain ladder, or how can you objectively compare? Like, so they wrote a paper on how can you objectively compare these reserving methods, and also giving thoughts of how you could then compare them against individual claims reserving methods. So I found this helpful for thinking, but I couldn't apply this directly because the key challenge was actually that reserve segments are not additive when you look at variance. So each segment has got a different distribution. The mean might be additive, the best estimate, but that's what we do in practice. We sum up the best estimate. But if you have a stochastic measure for a certain segment, you can't say sum up the 75th percentile of each. It's not additive, and that's the challenge here. How do you? So I had to come up with a form of testing reserve accuracy between segments. And in doing so, we just define the aim. The aim is to see if clustering-based segmentation is better than, or if it can outperform the whole major class. Like, what if you like reserve just using the whole major class or an alternative segmentation? And doing that, so you'd basically backtest the actual versus expected on and sum up the lower triangle for every segment. So you basically project every segment, sum up the lower triangle, and do the same while backtesting, and using the actual and expected results after summing up. So almost like the best estimate, after summing up the best estimate, calculating the root mean square error. And this formed a decent metric to sort of see, is this now outperforming the alternative segment on segmentation or not? Okay. So, research questions. Going about this, and this is really just also like to sort of share the experience. Not saying that this is now amazing, everyone should go and do it, but it's the first question is like, can clustering-based segmentation improve reserving accuracy? Upon my testing, I found that yes, it can. It inherently makes claims groups more homogeneous and allows you to put some constraints in the clustering to make sure that they're statistically significant, so you don't end up with really sparse segments. And also, it's obvious to note that for classes that are already homogeneous, it won't work that well. So don't bother expecting amazing performance improvements in those results. In those